Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today on Bagels and Blessings, I'm going to share with you an interview that I did a few weeks ago with Stephen Schreiberg from Toronto, Canada. He attends City of David Messianic Congregation, and he's going to share how he came to know Yeshua as his Messiah. Stay tuned. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shemai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Come fellowship with us on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. We're at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit. And while you're at Shemai Yisrael, please check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It's open after services every Saturday around noon, and it's also open on Tuesdays from 1 to 7. And Thursdays from 1 to 6. The Fig Tree Bookstore is a great place to go for CDs, tapes, prayer shawls, music, shofars, books about sharing Messiah, and jewelry. That's the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. And if you're in the Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo area, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Let's start the fun with laughter. This is Greg Silverman from his new CD, I Am.
Messiah sing. His love for us. He gives fullness of joy in the world are full of glory. Strength is here. If he brought love along, we would have had it all, but he added more. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and we'll laugh alone.
Laughter into my soul. Yes, you are, you made me whole. You rejoiced over me with your sin.
Hi, this is Greg Silverman, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Thanks so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. That was a really great song. You know, I love in the Bible where it says that he rejoices over us with singing. You can find that scripture in Zephaniah 3:17. The whole scripture says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Hallelujah! That's awesome. Here's McKedem.
Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem V'charati et Beit Yisrael V'et Beit Yehuda. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem V'charati et Beit Yisrael V'et Beit Yehuda. We'll be right back.
That was a great praise song from the Israeli messianic group Mekedem. Now, I know you'd like to know what they were singing about. The name of the song is Hine Yamim Baim, and here is the translation. It comes from Jeremiah 31:31 and verse 33. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah a new covenant, which is Brith Hadashah. I will place my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Powerful verse. Hallelujah. I often like to share this verse with skeptics that are not sure about a new covenant, you know, coming from a Jewish background. But if you look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, you see it definitely mentions that the days are coming, well, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. So that's a powerful scripture. Well, more music to come. Right now, let's hear about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road. Check them out online at www.ucccroc.com. Here's a beautiful song called Kadosh Atah with David and Karen Zegwin.
אני משתחווה על ברכי, נותן לך סמכות על כל ימיי.
אהלל אותך לנצח כי אתה אדוני, אתה לבדך ישוע שמחת חיי. קדוש, קדוש, קדוש אתה, קדוש, קדוש אתה, קדוש, קדוש, קדוש אתה, קדוש, קדוש אתה.
Well, that is such a beautiful song, and the only way that we are truly made clean, or kadosh, holy, is through the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah. Yeshua, the perfect Lamb. Again, that was Kadosh Atah from Karen and David Seguin. And now, let's hear from one of my sponsors. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. But Rivka Witten has a new CD called Come to the Waters. This one is called Oseh Shalom.
Oseh Shalom Bimromav, Hu Yaaseh Shalom Aleinu Ve'al Kol Yisrael Ve'imru Imru Shalom bimroma Hu yaaseh shalom aleinu Ve'al kol Yisrael Ve'imru imru amen Oseh shalom bimroma Hu yaaseh shalom Amen.
Again, that's a beautiful song from Bat Rivka Witten from her new CD, Come to the Waters. Oseh Shalom is a traditional song. It's part of Hebrew liturgy. Jews everywhere are familiar with it. So what does it mean? He who makes peace in his high places, may he make peace for us and for all Israel. Let us say, Amen. And that's basically what the song is all about. Peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's hear now about some yummy, yummy food places. If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe and Deli. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom!
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Well, just a reminder that today's show is pre-recorded and there won't be a Bible contest today. And the next week will also be pre-recorded. But on the 25th, I will be back in the studio, so you make sure that you listen and call when you hear Giving Bagels on the 25th. But I've got great shows lined up for you, and right now I'm going to share the interview that I did with Stephen Schreiberg a few weeks ago. Enjoy, darling, enjoy. Stephen Schreiberg, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so excited that when I go to the Messiah Conference, I always meet interesting people or somebody else recommends that I call someone who's interesting. And I know you're interesting, so...
Well, I can't praise myself, so I'll just say thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your background. Were you raised in a typical Jewish home?
Yeah, I was. My parents... are pretty, you know, typical, I would say, Russian, warm Russian Jewish people who, you know, really love family. Jewish identity is very strong, but very not religious at all, like very secular and mildly even traditional. And they kind of pick and chose, you know, what was important to them, and pork chops still made their way to the dinner table. But there are certain things that we just must do, you know, Like, coming home for dinner and the whole family getting together for Passover was like a must, you know. So it's just funny what people choose, you know, as important and other things not.
And when you were growing up, Stephen, did you have a strong sense of God in your life at all?
I did, yeah. It's interesting. It's not that my parents, again, were religious in any way, but I just had a sense in me, since as far back as I can remember, that I believed that God was real. It just seemed, I don't know how to put it other than I just already believed that. I feel like that was already placed in my heart, that God had already given me that in my heart. So I did grow up with the sense that he was real, even to the point, actually, where I remember one time my cousin, who's a brilliant guy, was on the wave of atheism, you know, as a young teenager, and I was only about 9 years old, and he was arguing with my uncle, who is, you know, pretty traditional, mildly observant, and he was arguing with him, and he was explaining to him why God is not real, and I thought it was kind of cool that the young people were ganging up against the older, and I joined my cousin and my brother to argue, but it was such a strong sense in me that it even left a memory and a mark in me that I remember feeling that it was so false, like I was on the wrong side, and that I didn't agree with my cousin at all. And I didn't know why I didn't agree with him, but I had such a strong sense inside me that I was on the wrong side, that it was kind of cool to be with the younger people against the older people, but it left a mark in me and a memory in me that I didn't agree, that it was so strong in me that I was not on the right side, that God is real. I don't know why scientifically, I was only maybe about 9 or 10 years old at the time, but I just knew that they're not right, you know? They even left the memory, it's funny.
Wow. So, Stephen, when did you first hear about Jesus?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Well, the first time, I know this is kind of it sounds uber spiritual, but I was 12 years old. I went through a phase of some serious depression, actually, for about like a year and a half. And during that time, I, just in a really dark kind of moment and episode, I left my parents' house to ride my bike. I just needed to get out of the house, and I was riding my bike around the neighborhood. And as I was riding my bike around the neighborhood, I just kind of, in my heart, I just kind of cried out, like, why is this happening to me, you know? And it was such an amazing thing. I just sensed all of a sudden that it was as if God's face was shining upon me, and it lit me up with joy that, again, it marked me, and I still remember it today, and I just felt like the trees were glowing, and it was beautiful weather, and I just saw all the beauty and the nature all around me, and I was riding my bike so quickly, and it got me so excited inside. I was, like, leaping for joy inside, and it's funny because when that happened, that I just felt God's kind of touch or just like his light just touch me inside myself, the question arose, and it was very strange, but it arose. I'm like, is that Jesus? It just happened in my mind. I was like, Jesus? And then I thought, I must be wrong because I know he's the God for the Christians and not the Jews, but it left that mark in me that was him. That was that, you know? And I kind of put that under the rug, and I swiped it under, and I grew out of that depression. I grew out of that, thank God, and I just took control of my life, and I started to work out, and I started going to the gym, and I started jogging, and my life completely turned around by the time I hit high school, by the time I hit grade 9, which I was pretty close to going to when I was getting out of that. And people started coming to me for advice, and I felt like I really grew up from that season of depression, and I, like, friendships burst forth and confidence burst forth, and my life entirely changed. But that was the first time, I guess, obviously, just through culture, I already heard about the figure of Jesus, but that was the first time that I guess that seed, the first seed, just kind of planted in me. It wasn't until I was 24 years old and living in New York City, actually, which I think is where you are. I was going to school in New York City, where somebody directly shared with me. It was a girl in acting school, and she said to me, "Hey, you know, you're only half Jewish." And I said, "What do you mean? No, I'm not. Both my parents are Jewish." And she said, "Well, you're only half Jewish because, you know, you're still waiting for your Jewish Messiah, so you're still incomplete. You're still half Jewish." I was like, "What? That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? Never heard such ridiculousness." And I, you know, debated her and all that good stuff.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So you mentioned acting school. Is that part of your life story?
It was, yeah. That was a big, I guess, so yeah, like that first seed, you know, when I was riding the bike was when I was maybe about, you know, 12 years old, something like that, 12, 13, yeah, about earlier than my bar mitzvah. It was probably before my bar mitzvah. So fast forward, I guess, about 10 years, 10, 11 years after that, I found myself in New York City. And since then, you know, I was living a pretty normal life. I went to school in Montreal at the National Theatre School of Canada. I went there for 1 year. Then I was kicked out of that school, actually, resisting the program and all that. And I wanted training from New York City. That's where I really wanted to go. So when I went to New York City when I was about 24, that's when my life took off. And that's when my, you know, acting career, I guess, started to kick into gear. I was still in school only, but I just felt like I really clicked in to the place in myself that was going to carry me to the red carpet. I just had that sense in me. I know now what to do on stage. I got it. I'm confident. I have it affirmed. I actually was the youngest person. I was invited into Michael Howard's. That's where I studied in New York City, Michael Howard Studios. And I was the youngest person in his class, and he only, in his advanced class, actually. And he had in his class, as a student, two-time Oscar winner Diane Weiss was there as a student. And I was thrilled to be there. He invited me after seeing me in one of the school productions. So that's kind of when everything took off, and I was living a pretty self-centered life. All of the excitement and seeing my career and my life unfold before me really built into me a certain sense of self-centeredness and a self-absorption. And I just felt like I was a king, and I felt like my life was all ahead of me, and I was excited for today, and I was more excited for where I was headed. And I think it's contagious, and I think other people started to kind of gravitate towards me for that, and I took advantage of that. I took full advantage of that and didn't care to, you know, move and sacrifice and compromise my own, you know, goals and aspirations for other people. I rather let them sacrifice and you know, compromise things in their own lives to come to my life. But that I was on a journey, and I wasn't about to move to the left or to the right. I was going to stay straight. And so relationships, I think, suffered, and it wasn't a healthy place. It was a selfish place, and I found myself to be, like, inside. There was one time I remember, you know, I was sitting on a bus, and it was, New York is very, as you probably know, New York is very fast-paced, lots of noise, lots of action, and not much time that I take for myself to reflect. And I took one moment to reflect, which was a normal practice back at home in Toronto. And when I did that, when I was sitting on the bus in New York, when it was all quiet, I just found that I was empty and I was living a pretty selfish life. And that planted another seed to search, you know, how do I be a good person and continue on to stardom without self-destructing, you know? And I just saw as clear as day. It was just like a moment of clarity that I knew if I continue on this path, I will have a beautiful career, but a horrible and tragic life ahead of me. I will have, you know, tragedy in front of me, and all my favorite actors came to my mind. And like any big acting, you know, fan, I knew all their lives to the personal level, you know, doing all my research and all that, and their lives were pretty tumultuous. A lot of affairs and drugs and suicides and all that stuff. And I realized, wow, I'm becoming like these people on stage and off stage. It's a package deal. And that scared me enough to be like, wait a minute, I don't want that. And so I felt like God was, you know, looking back now, it's like an ultimatum. you know, do you want that? Or no, or is that not what you're after? And I just thought, well, what's the sense of having a beautiful career if you're unhappy?
Wow.
I kind of paused, and that caused me to take a moment to think, you know.
In the meantime, had you ever met any Jewish people that believed that Jesus is the Messiah?
No. Up to that point, thinking back now, no, I don't remember meeting anybody that was Jewish who believed, but I did hear of Jews for Jesus. Actually, that girl that I mentioned who told me I was half Jewish because, you know, I didn't know my Messiah, she actually was familiar with Messianic Jews and Jews for Jesus and mentioned them to me. Her sister was going to a Messianic congregation, actually, but she wasn't around. She didn't live in the city, I don't think. Mm-hmm. She was living far out. I didn't know her. I met her once or twice, but she was going to a Messianic congregation while the girl that was sharing with me was going to a church. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she was familiar, but no, I didn't know anybody specifically Jewish who believed.
Wow. So you were at this pivotal point in your life when you realized that your life could really go down the tubes and you could go off the deep end, and you didn't want to have a tragic ending like so many before you had. And so yeah. What happened next?
Yeah, so that kind of set me on a course. It was interesting because I didn't have a plan B. You know, acting was plan A, and I didn't have a plan B because I thought inevitably if I did have a plan B, I would fall on it. And so I decided, no, that this is what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to do. And New York was really giving me the confidence, and it affirmed that, yes, I can do it. So from that point, it was just kind of like this background thought process, you know, the question that I had in my mind, how do I continue, you know, growing in my work and growing in my skill without it destroying my life? And immediately religious people came to my mind, you know, Jewish religious, like rabbinic, you know, and I already knew that, no, absolutely not interested. I'm not interested, is what I told myself, to be a robot. You know, I'm not interested in living that kind of a life where I just follow rules and regulations and go numb, you know, and that's how I looked at it. That was my perception of that type of a life. And so I was not interested in that, but I was interested in knowing what's really, truly, objectively right and wrong, so that I don't leave it to myself in a case-by-case basis to make decisions for myself, because I knew that even though I tell myself, you know, it's wrong to do X and Y, you know, if it's wrong to sleep with somebody outside of marriage, for example, well, yeah, I can say that to myself. But, you know, after going out with a group of friends and having a couple drinks, I knew enough of myself to say, well, I might change my moral code at that moment, you know, and I just knew that I would end up in the same old, same old. So I was looking for an objective right and wrong that was not going to be moved by my feelings and how I thought about it. And that catapulted me into like a three-day, it was really amazing, a three-day process where all of a sudden, everywhere I went, churches all around New York City at the time I was catching them. It's like a song that you never heard, and then all of a sudden you hear it, and then now you notice you're hearing it everywhere.
Right.
It was like these churches have been there all the time, you know, but all of a sudden I passed this block 100 times, but now it really caught my attention, and I was finding myself drawn to go in to the point, and it wasn't just subconsciously kind of drawn, I was consciously being drawn to the point that I even told one of my Jewish friends at the time that I was going to school with, a buddy of mine, Doug, and I told him, I said, it's weird, I've been feeling drawn to go into churches, you know, everywhere I go, I'm noticing them, and he's a very open guy, very liberal, and he's not observant or religious at all, and said, well, why don't you go? And I thought, you know, I don't know, it's just strange that I'm feeling that, I don't know why, and then I found myself back on a bus, you know, a couple days of this continuing. And as I was on a bus, all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there, a thought interrupts me, like a voice that rang loudly inside me. And it said, look left. And I recognized right away, this is not my thought, I did not think it, I'm hearing that inside me. It's like a voice speaking to me, look left. But before I looked left, I wanted to acknowledge to myself that I really did just hear that, because if I turn right now, and what I told myself, if I turn right now and I see another church or a cross or something, I'm going to freak out. And I turned and I looked, and lo and behold, there was a huge church right there just when I heard that. And immediately, as I saw the church, it just clicked in my head. Oh my, I've been drawn because God is real. This is real. This is Jesus. It's true. And then as I acknowledged that this is real, I felt flooded by his presence and by that unconditional love that you hear talked about. And immediately it made me feel a conviction of my sin and my darkness, and I felt repentant inside. And I responded right away from inside myself. I was sorry for how I was living. I was sorry that I had sin in my life. I was sorry that I was living selfishly, and I repented right there from the inside. And just as quickly as I was repenting, immediately I was washed clean. I felt completely physically forgiven, and I felt energy enter into me. Like, I felt excited. I felt forgiven. I felt clean. I felt so, just joy came up. And just like that, I felt like leaping up, and I can only imagine what I actually looked like. It's hard to imagine. Like, it was so internal, but I don't know if somebody was watching me what I might have looked like. But right then and there, I kind of like leaped up, either inside or physically, I don't remember. But he spoke again, and he said, "Now go in." And I jumped up to go in. That point, I was already standing, or I just jumped up because I was about to go in. But another thought came to me that interrupted that. And the thought was, what would your parents and your friends think if you went in there?
Uh-oh.
And I felt the grief of my family and friends, and not just the grief of my family and friends. I realized, and I just knew, it was just like an innate knowing, if I go in there, I just pictured myself being completely coming out of there religious and like living completely, you know, that to myself and being like a servant of God. That's why I just had that. It's all happening within a split second that this would happen. And then I realized if I do that, then my whole entire dream of being an actor, that whole thing, it's all gone. It's all dead. And I responded. Again, this all happens within just a second of time. And I responded from in myself and I said, I know you're real, but not yet. And just like that, when that came up, I felt a grieving, like I was replaced by I just felt really grieved inside, and I regretted it immediately. As soon as that those words came out of me, I regretted it, and that whole experience, and then Yeshua gone. Yeshua's, like, presence, the whole feeling, the feeling drawn, it was all just like that. It was gone, and I felt really grieved inside, and I wanted to change my mind. No, I want to go in, but I knew the moment had passed. It was too late. And that catapulted me to the next season of about a year and a half, I would say, of searching, because I didn't think to go to the Bible because I had already decided that was, you know, nobody, no thinking, no right-minded individual believes in this. I went to New Age. I went to Eastern philosophy, and I started reading New Age books in Krishnamurti, Deepak Chopra, and I just went all over the place, started reading everything to try to understand what just happened to me, you know.
Wow.
I continue. I know it's a lot. I want to give you a chance to jump in. I know it's a lot. So
we have about 5 minutes left, actually. I kind of wanted to know, what did your family say when you finally did tell them? And I'd like to sort of morph into how God is using you today. But before you answer either of those, I have to just say that is truly a miraculous story, because so many people will tell stories about, you know, different people were praying and witnessing to them. And I mean, God clearly called you in a powerful way. And I haven't heard a story like that. And I don't know if I've ever heard a story quite like that. So that is just amazing and inspiring. So now I'm wondering, when you finally did tell your family, tell me about their reaction.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, thank God for that. I mean, what can I say? It's just looking back, you know, I beat myself up quite a while, you know, thinking back and being like, how, after that, could I not have immediately changed my life? Like, people always say to me, like, man, if I have an experience like that, of course I'll believe, of course. And I tell them, do not underestimate the grip of the world. Like, you know, looking back now, of course, it's like obvious. But in the moment, you know, you don't know enough yet. I'm just moving along, you know, it took another couple of years. I was just building the testimony, but thank God he uses everything. He uses everything, and he turns everything for good. So you know, so praise God for that. But yeah, to answer the question, so it really took about another year and a half, but finally when everything was turning to rust and I just felt the weight of the world on my shoulders, I cried out one day to God, and I just said, why is this happening to me? And, like, why is life so hard, you know? And he just said, you're fighting for your will, for your life to come to being rather than submitting to mine. And it just, I immediately just became so aware of my own pride, and it broke me to tears. And I immediately called a buddy of mine, a Jamaican believer, and I said, I'm ready to come to church. I don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody says. It's true. It's real. I'm ready to give my life. And he's like, well, you should Google a Messianic synagogue. And I was like, a Messianic what? Really? Where am I going to have to go to, like, drive 3 hours to go? And then, lo and behold, the City of David Messianic Synagogue is like 10 minutes from where I lived. I saw God's hand already there. I was like, oh, my goodness. And so I went to City of David, and my life changed. And my parents quickly found out, and their reaction, my mom, you know, my parents, because they're not religious, to them it's just very embarrassing, I think, you know, for other family and for friends. They don't know how to explain it. They think it's something that's, like, so utterly foolish and stupid and embarrassing. How could anybody believe this? How could you do this? It's a cult. It's, you know, that those are all the reactions. But I told my parents, I said, look, if you're not willing to read the scriptures, then I can't even discuss it with you. I'll just tell you that it's 100% true. But if you don't read, then you can't. Don't fight me on this. You know what I mean? If you don't even know yourself what it means to be Jewish, and I know that sounds pretty offensive, but, like, you know, if you don't know why you're actually Jewish, and if Moses really is real, and if the history is real, or if it's all a bunch of fairy tales, let's throw it out. So anyway, the long story short, their reaction was very unpleased. But family to my parents is number one. And so, you know, they haven't done the, you know, thankfully, the story of cutting me out or anything like that. That is just not on their radar at all. And so, you know, I'm very close to my parents even today, thank God, and you know, see them all the time, and they call a lot. And they see that the fruit has been good. So we don't talk about it. And they're fine, you know, relationship and family comes first. So it's just one of those things they don't get, but they just never mind, you know?
Yeah. So how has your life changed, and how is God using you today?
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for reminding me of the last question. So, now it's amazing. I mean, I have a job. I work for a marketing company. So I sell digital marketing solutions. So that's what I'm doing, for my day-to-day job. But I do serve on the Shamashim at City of David. I am also with my wife, Ronit. We lead the youth ministry at City of David as well, under Jeff and Janet at City of David. So we're serving there. And yeah, so I mean, everything's changed. I'm completely different. People that know me now are shocked when I tell them that I used to swear a lot, you know, swear every sentence, and that was just part of normal speech.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
So my friends notice it. My family notices it. They see that I'm a completely different person, and everything's changed. I got married, you know, bought a home with my wife. I've had a job for longer than I've ever had. More responsible, more, you know, more mature, more caring. You know, all these things that they notice as good changes. So
praise God. I'm so excited to talk with you. I really want to thank you so much for sharing your story, and I would like to check in with you in a few months and maybe do a follow-up interview and just talk about what's going on in Toronto, and we could talk more then, but this has been wonderful. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. Would look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Great. So thank you so much. God bless. So again, that was my interview with Stephen Schreiberg, and a wonderful reminder that God answers prayer and he speaks to us, and when we submit to him, he does change our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I feel led to share with you some new music from Sarah Lieberman.
שישמע יבוא וידע מים חיים חינם מים חיים חינם. נשמחה ונגילה בו, יש נהר שזורם מכיסו, נשמחה ונגילה בו, הצמא יבוא וישתה מים בשפע, מי שישמע יבוא וידע, מים חיים חינם, מים חיים חינם.
Sarah Lieberman, Living Waters, or Mayim Chaim. We'll be hearing a lot more about her and from her in the weeks to come. I was happy to meet her at the Messiah Conference, and I'll be sharing a lot more of her music in the weeks to come. Here's Paul Wilbur.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and thank you.
Holy is the Lord. Mighty is the Lord. Great is the Lord.
Yivarech Echa Adonai. Vayismorecha. Yager Adonai Panavalecha. Vikunecha. Yisa Adonai Panavalecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.